So it's officially November, as has been confirmed in the last week, right? It's November, which means that the leaves are starting to fall. The leaves are pretty well all fallen from our trees. The temperatures are plummeting. We're finally being blanketed again with snow. It's November, meaning some of you have drank far too many pumpkin spice lattes. I've never understood the draw of a drink that tastes like a candle, but some of you love it, and that's great. But it's November, and for if you're like me, in November, it's not hard to think about November and automatically think of Thanksgiving, right? Thanksgiving is coming. If you're like me, you're excited about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's great. How do you not love Thanksgiving? You get together with family. You get together with friends. You eat more on that day than you would the entire week leading up to it. I mean, Thanksgiving is one of the few times of the year when after lunch is done, I get to choose between different types of pie, right? I love Thanksgiving. And the whole time, everybody's anxiously looking forward to the highlight of the day. I love Thanksgiving. Love Thanksgiving. But Thanksgiving, as we all know, Thanksgiving, yes, it's a day and it's coming and we're going to enjoy it. But Thanksgiving is also a whole lot bigger than a day, right? A Thanksgiving is also an attitude. It's a state of being. It's a condition of our hearts. That Thanksgiving is bigger. It is a day, but it's also bigger than a day. And so we're going to spend kind of the next three times we gather, today, next week, and then on Thanksgiving, talking about Thanksgiving. We're going to be talking about Thanksgiving as a way of life as we lead into the day that we'll celebrate with family and friends and turkey and stuffing and gravy. And so this morning, being the first time we kind of talk about, we have this conversation, we start by looking at the Psalms. Because really, there's few better places to look for Thanksgiving than the Psalms. I mean, it's in the Psalms that we read words like these. The psalmist says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Beautiful words. We read a little bit later in Psalm 136, "I give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever." The Psalms are filled with these proclamations of praise, of thanks. But this morning we're going to look at a whole different type of psalm. That yes, there are psalms that are filled with these thanksgivings and praises, but this morning, as we begin our conversation about Thanksgiving, we're actually going to look at a different type of psalm. We're going to look at a psalm which is called a psalm of lament, a psalm of lament. And the psalm is going to sound very different than the ones that we just put on the screen. So why would we start a series, a conversation on Thanksgiving with a psalm of lament? Well, because I think when we talk about Thanksgiving, when we talk about being thankful, I think there's some important things that we need to say right at the beginning. Because I think for some of us, we've told ourselves for far too long that being thankful somehow means that we need to pretend. That we need to pretend that life is always really easy and things are always good and the sky is always blue and the sun is always shining. That I think for some of us, we've told ourselves that to take on this attitude of Thanksgiving, to be thankful, means to pretend that everything is always easy, that things are always good. And I think this line of thinking has actually led some of us to feel some guilt, to feel some shame, when things actually get difficult, when life gets hard. Because we tell ourselves that we shouldn't feel the way, the pain shouldn't feel so real, that shouldn't feel, we should be happy and be thankful and pretend that it doesn't exist. And so some of us end up feeling guilty, we end up feeling shame in those times when life gets hard. And so this morning we're going to ask the questions, does being thankful mean we have to pretend Or does it go a lot deeper than that? Does it go way beyond that? And so we look to the Psalms. So I invite you to open with me in your Bibles to Psalm 13. Open to Psalm 13. The Psalms are basically right in the middle of your Bible. So let's open to Psalm 13. I don't have a page number written. Anybody have a page number? Wow, 5-something. There was a 532. 532, Psalm 13. I will read the entire psalm. Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Please pray with me. Father God, as we open your word this morning, as we study your word, Lord, we pray that you would speak through it to us. We pray that you would open our ears, you would open our eyes, you would open our hearts to hear what it is you're saying to us this morning and to transform us as we continue to draw closer and closer to the image of Jesus. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you still have your Bibles open, before we actually look at the verses, look at the little subtitle right under the title. It says Psalm 13, and then there's some little text right under Psalm 13 that gives us a little bit of detail about what this actually is that we're reading. I'll put it on the screen. It says, for the director of music, a psalm of David. So before we even dive into the words of the psalm, why is this important? Well, first, the psalm that we read is written for the director of music, which means these words were meant to be shared. What we're reading is not a journal entry. What we're reading is not somebody's diary entry of something they were going through. What we're reading are words that were meant to be shared. Because the words that we read are way bigger than the experience of just one person. What we're reading, what we're studying this morning are words that were true of them, yes, but they're also words. They're also words that might ring true for us today. They're words that we may have said in our past. They're words that we might encounter in our futures. These words speak to bigger than just one person's experience. They speak to the broader experience of what we feel as what we go through life. These words were meant to be shared. And then the second piece, they were written by David. David, the one whom the Bible says is the man after God's own heart. David, the one that Samuel anointed as a king over Israel. David, the one who with a sling and some stones took down the Philistine giant Goliath. David, the greatest king Israel had ever seen. David, that David, in the midst of the highs, in the midst of the lows, he didn't feel like he needed to pretend. David was open. He was willing to be honest before God. David was willing to be honest. So he starts the psalm, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? The beginning of the psalm feels very different than the ones we began the service with, right? With the give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures. And now David himself is writing the words, how long will you forget forever? The psalm sounds very different because sometimes life is really easy, and it's easy to bring praise, it's easy to bring thanks before God. Sometimes that's really easy, and you can approach God saying, give thanks to the Lord. Sometimes life is like that. But other times, other times life gets difficult, doesn't it? Sometimes life gets really hard. Sometimes we lose people who we love dearly. Sometimes it's the loss of somebody close. Sometimes it's the loss of health. That whether it's because of an illness or age or surgery, we've lost the ability to do some of the things we've always been able to do. Sometimes we've lost the ability to do some of the things we've really enjoyed to do. Some of us have experienced the loss of a job or a career. It's that position you thought you were going to be there until you retire. You thought that was it. And now you find yourself on a regular basis sitting down at the dinner table, filling out resume after resume after resume, wondering when this thing's going to end. For some of us, it's the breaking of a relationship, that person that you thought was going to be there, and you only watch them turn and walk away. Sometimes life is hard. Sometimes things get difficult. Sometimes it feels like the darkness is closing in around us. And in those times, we can turn to these psalms, the psalms of lament. So what does that mean? What is a lament? Well, a lament is a cry from within you, a deep cry to God, coming from a place, coming from an acknowledgement that something is wrong, that the world is not as it should be. It's a cry from the depths of your soul that things aren't how they should be. It's this type of cry that David says in the beginning of this psalm. It's when he writes, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall." Can you feel the pain in those words? Can you feel the pain in those words? David, when he's writing these, David's in a spot where he's disoriented. The life that he had, that life, that is not what he's experiencing anymore. There was how life was, and now this spot that he's in, something changed, something was taken, something has changed, and now David finds himself disoriented. What was isn't what is, and now it's almost as if David is grasping for anything, trying to figure out which way is up, trying to grasp anything that he can hold on to. David's writing from a really difficult place. But something to point out about these words, about the words of lament. I don't think these words David is saying come from a lack of faith. In fact, I think what David is doing is actually an act, a sign of faith. That what David is doing is he's disoriented. The way life was isn't the way life is. He's disoriented, and so he's reaching out, he's crying out to God, knowing that God is there. God has the ability to do something about it. God's the only one that has the ability to do something about it. So David doesn't pretend. He doesn't pretend. He's open. He's honest. He's crying out to God. And then what's interesting is what happens when David is open, when he's honest, when he's crying out. What's interesting is what happens at the end of the psalm. That after David has voiced these questions, the psalm ends with David saying these words. "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me." You see, often these psalms of lament through the Bible, through the Psalms, they begin with those questions. They begin with the crying out. But then sometime halfway through, sometime near the end, they turn a corner. And these psalms, they turn a corner and they start expressing statements of trust in God. We see it in Psalm 13. We see it in other psalms throughout the Bible. One of them we see brilliantly in Psalm 77. You can turn there if you'd like. The words won't be on the screen, but I'll read it. And so when we read, listen for when the psalm turns. Listen to when it goes from lament to trust. Psalm 77. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused, and my spirit inquired, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great is our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters. Though the footprints were not seen, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Did you catch the moment the psalm turns? See, the psalm in Psalm 77, I'll put this on the screen. In verse 9, the lament section ends with the question, has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? And then we see a shift. We see the psalm turn. And then we read, then I thought, to this I will appear, the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles, who displays your power among the peoples. The psalmist finds hope. The psalmist finds trust in remembering what God has done. That after asking these questions, the psalmist says, this is what I will remember all of your mighty, I will remember the ways that you have been with me. I will remember all of the ways you have been faithful. And it's almost as if for the psalmist, looking back helps the psalmist look forward. That looking back on all of the ways that God has been with him in the past, and looking back on all the ways God has been faithful in the past, helps the psalmist look at the present. Helps the psalmist look forward, knowing that just as God was with us in the past, God is surely with us now. And looking back, we can see all of the ways that God has been faithful throughout our lives can give us hope, can give us trust that God will be faithful in our present, that God will be faithful in our future, that looking back helps him look forward. It's what we see in the psalm that we looked at this morning, Psalm 13. Right at the end, the psalmist says, I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. That the present circumstances don't make sense. David feels disoriented. What was is no longer what is. But David in Psalm 13, like in Psalm 77, finds that in looking back, he's able to look at his present. That in looking back, he's able to look into his future, knowing that just as God was with him, just as God has been faithful, God will always be with him and God will always be faithful. And so it's almost that in this moment, David becomes reoriented. That it's almost as if he gets reoriented, that his focus is no longer on the trouble, on the darkness that's consuming him. But now he's been reoriented, so the focus, his focus is now on who God is, on what God has done, and on the hope, on the trust, on the faith and knowing that God is still doing that now, that God is still with us, that God can still be trusted, that looking back allows him to look forward, knowing God will always be with us, God will always be faithful, and even more than that, knowing that God actually knows what we're going through. The book of Hebrews says this about Jesus coming. Since the children have flesh and blood, Jesus too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear and death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. That in Jesus, God suffered. Jesus suffered. He was rejected. He was abused. He was killed. In Jesus, through Jesus, God is not only with us, God knows what we're going through because God in Jesus has been there. He's been there. So what do we do then? What do we do when life gets hard, when things get difficult, when it feels like the darkness is closing in around us? Where do we turn? What can we do? Well, I think we can turn to these psalms, the psalms of lament, that we can model our prayers after these psalms, and knowing that we don't need to pretend, we don't need to put on a mask, we don't need to put on some happy face, but that we can be honest, we can be open before God, that maybe we even voice the very words of these psalms. It's actually an ancient Israelite tradition to actually pray the very words of the psalms. That they recognize that there are times in life when they would come before God and because of their circumstances, because of their experiences, because of the situations they were in, the words had a hard time coming. And so in those times, what they would do is they would open the Psalms, the prayer book of their people, and they would pray the very words that people have been praying for thousands of years. So what do we do? I think we can take on the words of lament, that we can bring those before God as we're open, as we're honest before him, and that in doing so, we, like David, we can look back. We can look on our past, on how God has been with us, on how God has been faithful. And then in the midst of those difficult times, we can find a trust, we can find a hope in knowing that God is still with us, that God will always be faithful. And so we begin our conversation on Thanksgiving by acknowledging that being thankful, it doesn't mean we have to pretend that life is always great, that things are always, always good, but that we can be thankful in knowing that even in the hard times, we can come before God honestly and openly, knowing that God is with us, that God is hearing us, knowing that God will always be with us, that God will always be faithful. I think that's where we begin our conversation on Thanksgiving. So next week, I invite you to come out as we continue to explore the idea of being thankful. Next week, we'll look at what Paul has to say. But this morning, I ask that you pray with me. Father God, you are always with us. Even when things get hard, when life gets difficult, when the darkness feels to be closing in around us, we know that you are still with us. We know that you are still present. We know that you are always faithful. So Lord, may we lean on that in both the good times and the bad. May that be the source of our thanks. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and sing with us.